welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott taste yet another wine from Turley, but this time a red blend. More specifically, the Casa Nuestra red blend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Let's just bypass this part because I'm thirsty and want to try this wine very much. I've been holding on to it for a long time, so let's just bypass the... Okay, I'll play.
Let's just take
how are you tonight, Rob? I'm patient and not excited to drink this wine.
Everything's fine. I do have a lot of things I want to talk about, emotions and things like that. That'll take about 45 minutes before we get into the tasting section, but you're fine with that. So, tonight's show.
Emotions, you're just an expert about emotionality.
No, I don't want that. On tonight's show, we are drinking another wine from Turley, which might seem a little redundant since we've drank, 50 Turleys on the show?
It's safe to say Turley is...
Your favorite?
The Hall of Fame for appearances in the Wine Vault.
Cough sponsor us. Yeah. It is one of our favorite wines, and we do have a lot of it. Scott has an obscene amount of it. But this wine that we're drinking tonight is a little bit different because it's one of their rare red blends. But beyond that, it's a wine that has a little bit of history in Napa Valley. So it makes it a little bit more unique in many respects than... just some Zin from Howe Mountain, which is really good, but still, it's something a little bit more unique. This is their Casa Nuestra Red Blend. This has been made by Turley since 2016. Before that, there was a winery called Casa Nuestra. I believe, as best we can tell, and I think the internet suggests this, that Casa Nuestra went out of business, but that winery had a certain vineyard from which they made their Casa Nuestra Red Blend. I believe they call it like St. Helena Red Blend. And it was basically this wine. Now, Turley has bought that vineyard and kind of repurposed it and reacclimated it and brought it up a little bit. Changed the blend a little bit, but not a great deal because obviously they were a fan of this wine. And when the winery fell in hard times and was closing down, they scooped this vineyard up because they wanted to make this wine. This wine makes around 300 cases a year, so it's a very, very, very small production, even for Turley. And it comes in at, about $44, $45?
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
$40?
Mm-hmm.
That's our price.
Our price. If you found it out in the wild, maybe $60,
$70.
Yeah. So it's a little bit, it's expensive, but once again, you don't drink this all the time unless you're Scott, because you buy way too much of it. But that's okay.
There's no such thing.
That's true. This wine's blend, though, is interesting in the fact that it's a Mediterranean mix. Which I don't know what they mean by that, but it's a Mediterranean mix of Petit Syrah, Zinfandel, Alicante Bouchet, Carignan, Napa Gamay, Negret, Mourvèdre, and Refosco with a bit of Chenin Blanc. If you ask me what Refosco is, it's a red wine. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what... I've never been around Refosco. I don't know if it's from the Spanish. Negret, isn't that more of a Sicilian red?
I think Refosco is an obscure Italian.
Okay. Negret, I believe, is Sicilian. I believe. That's where I've seen it come across it before. The other ones are pretty standard. Alicante Boucher is in there to give it color. And color it has in spades.
Northeastern Italy? Slovenia, Croatia, Northeastern Italy.
That's a Refosco?
Yes.
Okay, and Negret is?
I think it's referred to as Negret Noir sometimes, too.
That would make sense. Often they do that.
It says southwest France in the region between Albi
and Toulouse. Then I wouldn't have come across it then. Well, small amounts maybe, but... What is it? Well, I must be thinking of something else then in Sicily. Because Sicilian wines always have...
It's a descendant of Mavro, an ancient variety from Cyprus.
There you go. Oh, Cyprus. So, okay, so there is a version of something that's similar to that over in that area.
Yep.
Okay, it's probably spelled a little bit different. Alrighty. So we have something that is kind of cross many spectrums and made in Napa. St. Helena, actually, I do believe. So it does have...
Oakville Vineyard. This is straight from the now defunct Casa Nuestra from their website.
Okay, good.
Oakville Farmhouse Vineyard. Farmhouse Vineyard. The Oakville Farmhouse Field Mix included some well-known varieties such as, does sound familiar, Petite Syrah, Zinfandel, Carignan, and Mourvèdre, as well as more rare Refosco, Alicante Bouchette, and Napa Gamay.
Oh, wow. See, like I said, they bought them out. I mean,
sounds like...
Scott tried to argue this with me.
No.
You did a little bit.
No.
Just a little bit.
No. What Scott said was this is the original vintage of Turley's Casa Nuestra. And he went, well, it's not really the original because
it's not.
Somebody else made
it's
that
the first
one.
Time they
not
put their Turley. Label on it.
Oh, okay.
It's so a little bit different.
Would that be their first vintage?
No.
So it wouldn't be Turley's first vintage.
It's not what's in the glasses first vintage. It's Turley's first claim that they made it.
Oh, my God.
You didn't even know that this was made by Casa Nuestra before. You had no idea. You're
false.
Ignorant, stupid, and silly. False. I agree. He is. He is all those things. Did you wear your trench coat today, Scott? It is windy.
Rob.
What did you wear?
Is following a certain congressperson from Georgia and thinks she's smart. And not full of conspiracy theories.
I don't know who that is.
Green. Taylor. Green.
Well, yeah, there could be Jewish space lasers out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why are they sure. Jewish? Well, I don't understand. Other than, obviously, she's anti-Semitic. I get that. But it was like, how does a space laser have an ethnicity or a religious affiliation? A laser's a laser.
The WNBA
the
could
Jewish
figure
people,
it out.
The Jews put it up there.
And kick her out for being an idiot.
Well, you're not even an idiot at that point. You're mentally handicapped. I mean, shouldn't you be excluded from public office?
Well, she's surrounded by
I
her
mean, if you
type.
Want to be a dipshit that believes in Bigfoot, that's fine. All right, that's right. He's a big monkey that runs across in the woods or something. I don't know what it is. But... you make up something to believe in. It's like me believing in a glow-in-the-dark red hippopotamus with horns that runs across my field, and I call it Stardust. And I believe in Stardust. First of all, I just made that shit up, right? Stardust. And I believe it's true. I'm not relying on any folklore from it. I made it up.
Well,
doesn't that make me crazy? Because I made up my own make-believe thing, and I'm pretending it's real. It's like she has an imaginary friend, and then they accept that. And then she says, my imaginary friend, Rico, is my chief of staff. And they're like, okay. And they actually start addressing her imaginary friend because she says he's there. That's what we're talking about
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well.
Just saying.
Or it's just the same politics of the Deep South from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Well, I mean, yes, the anti-Semitic part, yes, I understand. That is deep-rooted in their fuckery. But, you know, it's like space lasers, space, when Bobbert, or whatever the hell her name is, out there with her gun on her,
Bobbert,
whatever, yeah. Fucking, when she makes fun of you, you have a problem.
Yes.
You really do.
Yeah, well,
you know. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back.
Casa Nuestra. I'm so excited.
Here, with an extra long break. Here, on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2016 Turley Cellars Casa Nuestro red wine that they bought from somebody else. That's okay. Now, some facts about this wine. We don't have any reviews, naturally, but it is aged in natural yeast, used in all fermentations. Aged 80% used oak barriques, of which 80% are French and the rest are American. And then they bottle it after 15 months in barrel. So a good bit of time in the barrel.
You know, I've put some people in barrels, but they were worse for wear once they were in there.
They're around you, Wilfred.
Well, no, they were dead.
Well.
You know. But they didn't have any more hands. I put those in a bowling ball bag and buried it. Ah, I saw that in the movie once. It worked.
It worked.
Doesn't have a wide distribution, this show, right?
No.
Because I just confessed to murder, I guess.
Again.
Yeah.
Not the first time.
Ah, this was James Sackling. Yeah, thank you. Goodbye. Yeah, I've got to go to Canada really quick. Mexico, maybe. Tijuana's nice.
I'll bet you like Tijuana.
You can catch a donkey show. You know what that is, right?
I'm sure you could tell us.
Doesn't involve a donkey. Well, never understood that. They call it a donkey show, but really, some woman fucks a horse. Don't they know the difference between a horse and a donkey?
Well, you're splitting hairs.
Possibly. But I mean, if I'm going to have sex with a farm animal, I'm damn well going to know if it's a horse or a donkey. I always figure that out.
You just have discriminating taste.
Wait a minute, I just confessed to that, too? Is that illegal here?
It depends what your political party is.
I'm not allowed to vote. I'm a felon.
Well, there's that.
Damn it. I always screw myself over. And myself.
So, in the glass.
I have some airing of a grievance.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
That's very exciting. Go ahead.
You referred to, indirectly, Turley Howell Mountains Inns as just another Howell Mountains Inn.
I never used those words.
You said it in this episode, sir.
No, I said that's very nice, is what I said.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. Now you're backpedaling.
No. Your grievance.
It's aired. And now you just backpedal.
No. I mean,
listeners are fast forwarding back to the beginning. Where
where's Hain from? That's not Howell Mountain.
No,
it's
not.
That's Valley Floor. It's cheap. Scott, I'd just like to point this out. For this wine, I broke out the Riedel Venom, like New World Syrah glasses. These are the big things. This is what we normally drink big Zins out of, too. A little more volume to the glass, but still tapered properly. We did not use these glasses for the Hain Zin because it is not a big Zin. So, here we go.
We used the big Bordeaux glass is what we used.
No, we used the regular Zin glasses, and you were very upset. The nose on this is bright, very bright.
Brilliant, one might say.
Mm-hmm. And if you hear crunching in the background, it's Bo.
Who's had a hard week?
He's had a hard week.
His dad's not very empathetic to his needs.
Mm. If you take a big, big breath, initially you're saying, well, okay, nice crushed blackberry, but you pull back in there. You're getting gooseberry. There's also this bright core of cherry cordial and raspberry. So many ripe fruits and berries in there. It's really a lush, lush nose. And, you know, it's not surprising because you have Gamay in there. You know, that's going to add a softness, fruitiness to it.
You know what else you've got in there? A wonderful note of mint.
Oh, sure.
A beautiful nose.
The whole soil has a slight chalkiness to it from the soil, I'm assuming.
That's my eyeglasses. Almost like a vanilla from like a vanilla icing. It's kind of got a sweet note.
I'll do vanilla extract.
Yeah. But
vanilla bean, almost. But no, more of an extract, because you have the blackjack licorice also in the background, which kind of tinges that a little bit.
What a fucking nose.
There's a lot. I mean, it's a rabbit hole.
It reminds me of...
It's a kaleidoscope.
Vanilla icing. The reason I said that, just got the first batch of cookies from Crumble Cookie.
Mm.
It's near us. I got it for the granddaughter, grandparents' day at the school, and mm-hmm. I made some stops. And by the way, if you have a Crumble Cookie in your neck of the woods, ridiculous.
Mm.
Just ridiculous.
There's only one way to really deal with this. And by the way, it's beautiful in the glass. Very, very beautiful.
The wonderful deep, legs. Oh, my God.
Deep crimson. What's the alcohol on this? Probably reasonable. 14 and a half, something like that. Or 19. I can tell on the powder, it's up there, isn't it? What is it?
No, that's the initial vintage. Oh, it's probably something, you know, reasonable amount of alcohol. How about 15.8, my friend?
That's low for Turley. That's still a lot. This wine, on the palate, it's kind of flat and lifeless. There's very little fruit, surprisingly, in the wine. It is a explosion. It is a flavor explosion. Some wines, they have big fruit and whatnot, but this wine is a flavor explosion. It's like when you walk into a spice store and you have all this aromatic glory that is just everywhere. And say there's an Italian restaurant also adjacent to, and the doors are opening. So you have all that nice tomato sauce, ripe smell coming through. And then you're done through that. Then you walk through this glorious herb garden. And that's very, very nice. And then you go into a steakhouse. And it's, that's very, very nice. It's just every aroma through a flavor that you love. This wine kind of projects that. And I mean, it's as subtle as fucking, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade is in New York City. Jesus.
I think a float just got away from us on this one. It's huge. Huge.
And you still know it's Turley, though.
Well.
And that must be through the oaking. We need to figure out how, because this is not, they made this their own, they bought it, but it wasn't something that they curated from the beginning of time. They brought it back and they kind of rebadged it and redid it, but it still has a Turley flavor to it. And that must be through their way of oaking, because you're imparting just this little twinge of vanilla through the wine that's there. Just a slight bit that goes through, and that's completely all French oak. Then on the way out, you have a bit of smokiness, which is the American oak. It's, you know, proportionally drastically smaller, but it should be, because American oak isn't very good in big numbers, really, unless you have this massive Cabernet. But this wine, it's proportioned correctly, so you have a good balance of sweet vanilla oak that comes through, and then you have a little bit of smoky, you know, pop.
I know you were talking, but I was concentrating on the finish, and you interrupted me, so I lost track of how long it is.
Good.
Because it's fucking long.
Because you can't count that far.
I wasn't counting. I was just trying to concentrate, but I was being disrupted.
Mm. My
ADD was kicking in. Somebody was talking too fucking much. This is long. Still, just 2016 that we're having tonight. Still, I would describe the tannic backbone of this wine is still chewy.
They say it's a drink now wine.
No. It difference.
Their drink now is different than my drink now and what everybody else was they drink now. This wine, I think another 3-4 years, it mellowed just slightly. It would be a little bit different wine, but it might even come off as more of a Spanish Tempranillo based kind of wine with a little more time.
This is 5 years from its release date.
So. Yeah, I know. Well, they always release things earlier than they should anyway.
Well, they just do what they do, you know.
This wine does not taste like something that is 2 years past its vintage. It doesn't taste that fresh. So, you know.
I think it, based on their cellar notes, I think it's suggested to consume without canting.
And you can tell Scott needs to shave because he's stroking his stubble. It's very nice. He's a professional podcaster. He's done this 300 or 400 times. He doesn't know not to do that.
No, he'd like to do that.
Would you like to also scratch your testicles in the air? That would be nice. They would love to hear that.
No more than
yes, yes, yes.
You mean more than usual?
Yeah, that's true.
Why did you laugh at your joke when I just fell in line with it?
Because you're the joke.
You're so silly. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was a good one. You got me good, folks. Mm. This could go significantly longer than a year.
Well, yeah, longer than a year, yeah. This wine does remind me of a Turley, and I'm trying to put together what one it does. I mean, it shouldn't, because it doesn't share any commonalities in the vineyard with anything else, but I've had wines that taste like this in parts, and I've always liked wines that taste like this, and when they say a Mediterranean blend, it does kind of have an exotic sense to it, partly because that wide range of varietals that they've included, you can see that they're not being wasted. And you're not going to mistake it. Sometimes you would, when you have that kind of wide-ranging varietal list, you might worry. Well, not worry. This is really...
You might have concerns.
No. You might be concerned that it might emulate something else, like something from Rhone, for instance. I mean, Rhone wines can be taken out to that point. No, they don't. This doesn't share any of those varietals, really. But it doesn't. It's not going to be mistaken for something from Rhone. It's not going to be mistaken for something from Languedoc. You know, because it's brighter than that, and, you know, the blend sets it apart.
I would go like 1 liter, like Roussillon might show some of these things. Now, this is a heavier wine, but, you know, that's where I would go in France. And I think it's a fair comp. It's not the same, but you have some of those same features. How integrated this wine is. It's got so many varietals going on.
Mm-hmm.
And how well integrated it all is. Nothing's out of place in this wine. That in itself is what reminds me of pick your French blend. That's kind of sort of what
But it's a little too, in my opinion, vibrant.
Too fruit forward.
Well, most French blends that are blent to this degree, and by the way, yes, you're right. Those legs are some of the best defined, slower legs I've ever seen in my life. I don't normally, you know, kind of get into that, but I'm watching them through the glass and going, oh my God.
And it is 15.8.
They are completely separate. They are perfectly defined, and you just watch them go down. It's amazing.
It's like a Pollock painting or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a lot of those French wines, blends like this with that big of, you know, wide variety of varietals, normally are either going to be Syrah or Grenache dominated, because they're normally Rhone or Roussillon. And so, well, Languedoc Roussillon. So that's why you're not having, I don't think either one of those varietals are here. And so it's got the same kind of wide tapestry of grapes.
Yes.
But it doesn't have the same grapes.
No, well, France doesn't grow Zin.
No.
Petite Syrahs.
No, they don't do that. It's a
little bit, but not like this. This is predominantly Petite Syrah.
Well,
I don't think there's any information on the percentages on this. I haven't seen it.
Petite Syrah is only
primarily Petite Syrah.
Well, Petite Syrah is only really popular in the New World.
Right.
What's the other name for it? I forget. We have the Camus Susan blend of Petite Syrah is also known as. Yes, he'll figure that out. So I know it. I just can't remember it.
It's all right.
And the Camus Susan, that they did this, the one wine, they've done it for years, and it's a really great wine, Petite Syrah based, and predominantly Petite Syrah, maybe even 100%. And now they've gone like into the shit, and they do other things too that nobody wants. So, you know, it's like, just leave well enough alone. Red Schooner.
The Derif.
Yes, Derif. Yeah, Derif. And Derif is Petite Syrah. So you might see something under the Derif name in different parts of Europe. So.
It was created by botanist François Derif in Montpellier, France.
So there you go. So it that would be how you would find it, but we don't see it very often.
It's a cross between Syrah and the even more rare Pelorsin.
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 So when you said Petite Syrah does have a presence in Europe, you are correct. It's just Derif.
It's in France, but
no, it'd have to be. Somebody would have to be making it, but just on a small scale. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like we got our hands on a single varietal of it from Montpellier. It seems like it a long, 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 long time ago, and it was really, really bad from that wine shop.
I don't
tastings.
Know.
It was really, 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 really.
Oh, you
bad.
Mean at tastings?
Yes.
Well, that's because it was on that. If it was there, it was on that CO2 shit, and it tasted like apple juice.
Oh God! You had one bottle that had a bad taste.
I mean, I had Heights there, and it was bad because it had been. It was apple juice, you know. That place could have done really well had they kept their stuff rotated better.
Well, and not only that, but...
charged less.
I thought the pricing was great food.
I never ate there. They always had...
great food. It's on my menu. Great food. I ate there several times. I think it would have been better served to be in a location where it had parking. Short North was going through the renovation, and it just... There's a place called Tastings. They had a location in Indy, and probably, God, would you say 50 bottles to taste from?
And it's like the California, those out in the West Coast, you know this, you see this. It's like the vending machine take. Yep. So you have your card loaded up with X amount of dollars, and then you can swipe it and get a 2 to 4 to 6 ounce pour out of a bunch of different wines in the machines. And that's all great and all. But we know that the problem with that is, if the bottle isn't going quick enough, it will react with the gas, which is quote-unquote inert. And they're never inert, really. That's why I suggest vacuum bin, just the pump, and just roll with that. Because your inert gases, whether it be argon or whatever, it taints it. And so you don't want that. I don't give a shit what it is. Take the air out with a pump. Put the cork in, and that's good enough. Don't taint it with gas. And for me, I could taste that there. I could taste the wine had reacted, and it had been on gas too long. You know,
that was really just the Heights. We didn't have other than there were
couple more.
Bad wines.
There were bad wines, yeah,
that we didn't like.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been fantastic if they had strip mall location. In Polaris or in some other upscale place. Even if it's like downtown Westerville, where there's plenty of parking.
Uh-huh.
You might have to walk to get there. Uh-huh. But where this was at in the Short North, you couldn't freaking get there.
No, you couldn't. Okay.
But back to this wine. I think the nose is a direct link to what this wine is in the glass, which is not... always the it's rarely the case, but the fruit that it exhibited on the nose, it's exhibiting just as wide a fruit palette in the glass.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. It does show all the elements. I mean, I even said, you know, the vanilla is there. I mean, the vanilla is there on the nose and there on the grape. The berry fruit is there both places. It is a unique specimen in the fact that it does carry over its nose. One is a kaleidoscope and the other one is a kaleidoscope, you know?
Getting a nice little sense of minerality. I wouldn't quite pencil lead.
No, it's
there.
But
it's headed towards
that. Well, you can taste the Petite Sirah that's there. You can. It really, I think, is the predominant wine that's back. It's a good Petite Sirah, though.
It's a heavy percent. But for some reason, it seems like I read somewhere that it's not even 50% of the wine.
No, it wouldn't have to be. I mean,
and then the Zin's even lesser than that.
Yeah. But it tastes like a Petite Sirah base blend, and that used to be a bad thing. It's just, as you spend more money, it becomes a good thing. It's just, if it's $8 and it's a Petite Sirah blend, you better run for the fucking hills.
If it's Turley and it's a Petite Sirah, it ain't a bad thing, folks.
No, it ain't.
I love their Petite Sirahs. Somebody criticized me for years for purchasing much Petite Sirah.
No, you would criticize me for not buying much. I was like, yeah, it's all right. See, that's how that works. I'm not like... It's not really my thing, so I don't buy too much of it.
You centric.
Why would I buy things for you?
Oh, Lord. You buy things because they're amazing.
To you.
Petite Sirah, Turley Estate. Can you say 94 of your points, sir?
So?
They're
not 94 of my points.
Well, that's only because you don't taste it to give it your points.
Right. I have some. I just don't drink them that often.
Anyway, folks.
He's dumb. This one, though.
I'm dumb. I bought this wine. I'm dumb. It's a dumb move on my part.
If it says Turley on the label, you don't give a shit. If they put Turley on a box of cat turds, you'd buy it.
When they announced this blend of wine, I'm like, yeah, I'm buying it.
It already exists.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. No. This is a wine, though. The next time it's offered, I'll buy it.
You kind of have to. In the 40s, so that's what the Turley's offerings cost.
It offers something a little bit different.
Oh, my God.
And that's always nice. Different. I mean, it does. I wish Turley would offer more varietals. I mean, you know, they do. Well, you probably got offered the Cabernet. I didn't get offered any Cabernet this year. I didn't get a, did you? Okay. They must be so low that they're only offering it to people that are the one percenters.
I think they did have some loss.
And that's fine. I mean, I like their Cabernet, but it's not like, you know, it's really reasonable for a Napa Cabernet.
And but put it back?
Yeah.
It's like Deb's favorite red wine now is the Turley Cab. Mm-hmm. When I've aged it,
I just bought more Hall.
We've
bought a lot of Hall. Yeah,
well, some. Did you buy more than just the Ellie?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
The Concours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got 3 bottles of that and 4 bottles of Ellie.
Nice.
Well, the Ellie is the 18 and the 17.
Yeah.
So, but the Concours was, you know, it was like. On wine.com, sometimes, you know, because Hall has a peculiar portfolio where they have their estate Napa cab, right? That's like $60. Then they have some other Napa Valley wines. They're normally named for somebody associated with them. Similar to, there's a lot of producers that do that. But, well, Marietta does the same thing. But this was, they do the, it's Concours, and it's from St. Helena, and it's a Cabernet. They have an Ellie, which is just a Napa Valley one. They have a couple other ones, too, don't they, Scott? I can't recall right off the hat. They have, I don't know.
1883.
But yeah, that one, I don't see one much. That's a little bit more, though. That's closer It's closer to 80. But most of these things
up a couple. There's Jack's Masterpiece. That's a Napa. How about $200 of your dollars? Yeah. Catherine Hall. Is
that's
one. 200. That's way pricey.
I've had that before. It's very nice. Very nice.
Coeur, Coeur.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another one they have right now. But they're normally priced around $60-some. Well, We've been getting the Ellie's and the Core.
Less than 40.
Yeah, for 37, 36.
The Core was that price?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I bought it.
You wonder if somebody ordered something that got returned almost.
No, it's just like the Ellie, though. They're just trying to sell it. But the new vintage came in. It's a Napa Valley. It's not just like... The thing is, at $37 for Cabernet from Napa...
For
your average... Yeah. You can't... Cabernet. That's going to be a fairly monotonous drink, most generally. The Halls aren't. They are a high cut. And so you're getting a $67 bottle of wine with that at $37. You know, and there's some wines we like that are... I mean, we like Mount Veeder. We like that a lot.
I love it for the price point.
But that's a unique version of one that you can find around that is good.
Affordably good.
Yeah, affordably good. Under 50, sub 50, yeah. But that's a little bit far and wide. I mean, the rest of them, they were good values back when they cost under 30, like Robert Mondavi. His Napa Valley Cabernet used to cost sub 30. Now it's like in the 40s.
It's still really good.
It's good, but it never is a $40 bottle of wine to me, because not too long ago you could buy it for $27.
Oh, he's so nostalgic. And he just doesn't want things to change, folks.
Do you want him to change that? You just want to pay more for the same thing?
He just did, so he's not going to buy it ever again, because we used to be in the 20s, now it's $50, and I just remember it was $20, so I'm not going to buy it anymore.
Are you collecting Robert Mondavi's base Napa Cabernet? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
You probably are. You're offended. I'm sorry.
We both got... We were getting all that clearance stuff from the Meijer. We both got a couple of nice Mondavis. But I think we did one on the show. I think the one that I had, I held it back, kept it back for... I think we did it on the show.
I don't think we did it. I've brought...
Maybe we did it for Marbles or something.
I don't know. There's BV, but we didn't buy that.
Oh,
there.
God, BV. Now that we were getting... was wind up. That was stupid what we paid for that.
Well, they've sold out of it. That was back when they were starting to have their shipping problems. You got a bunch of bottles for $8.99.
It was dumb.
And I didn't get shit. And you got the most current vintage. It's supposed to be some old-ass dusty thing. But you got the current vintage for $8.99.
And it was nice.
Yeah, they're nice. They're not $75 bottles of wine, but they're nice. Nice, competent. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, tonight's potpourri, what we're going to do is we're going to create a 5-course menu where the only wine being drank is the Casa Nuestra. So, you're starting off with... the first course cannot be a breadbasket. I don't give a fuck what you put in your butter. That's not a fucking course, you dickheads.
But we can make it a toast point with toppings.
Well, okay, but
this,
not a breadbasket.
So it's funny because we hadn't really talked about food pairings with this. Mm-hmm. This is a wine you could pretty much serve with anything.
Ergo, the potpourri.
So. I tell you, I'm just going to, what I just said off air. Hmm. We're having this, so wine guy went to a wonderful purveyor, Italian, sundries, wines, food. They have a restaurant now. been in business for years. Staple in the Columbus food scene, Carfagna's. Mm-hmm. And he's got a form of a dried beef.
It's beef prosciutto. Prosciutto. What they call.
Yeah. And I would start our five-course meal with a salad. It would be arugula.
Wouldn't that be a second course?
This is the first course. Well, we could have. I'll do the second course, then. I'm gonna talk about this. You conspire for the first course. We're gonna go out of order here. Arugula salad, and I'm gonna just basic white vinegar, wonderful Italian olive oil based dressing, arugula salad. I'm gonna, even though it's peppery, I'm gonna crack peppercorn. Shaved Parmesan and this wonderful dried beef that I'm going to roll up and then bite it and then slice it in half inch to 3/4 inch slices. And then I'm going to pinwheel that over the salad and then toss it lightly. That would be wonderful with this wine. Hmm. I think also true to the Italian components of this wine.
Hmm.
I could see us starting out with a bruschetta.
Well, I was going to do just straight charcuterie. One thing I wanted to add, we're having these lovely little Italian green olives, very firm with the pits. I would want to incorporate that because it sets off a little bit of the herbaceous pops in this wine.
It's a very fruity olive.
Oh, it is. Lovely. And so, and very firm, very firm. So I would want to do a bit of a twist on charcuterie. So this, obviously these olives, I'd want to do that. But then I would also like to do some sort of a dried fruit, like a dried apricot, to give a little sweetness there too. Cured meats, you know, not salami though. Mortadella?
Yeah.
Mortadella and prosciutto, perhaps. And then for cheese, nothing that's crystalline. Maybe even like mozz. More Italian.
Oh, God,
yeah, like little mozz and maybe even just go out of the realm. Just mix in just like a little bit of sliced tomato with it too. So you have like a little bit of a mozz tomato, but you're not going the full Monty.
It's just there.
Yeah. Like maybe sliced cherry tomatoes. So something that's a little bit off kilter, but as a presented like charcuterie, I think that would be really, really nice.
Again, olive oil based. Mm-hmm. Hand marinated veg
and basket of bread, mind you, too. So you have that.
Oh, there's your. You just wanted to serve the bread.
That's just the welcome.
I'll be honest. When I think charcuterie, I think of Frank's old charcuterie before he took it off the menu.
Oh, well, he still does it if he knows you.
Well, we did. He has to have it ready.
That's true. He made it for us.
The marinated veg, he can't just make those up. The marinated veg, he'd just do. Sometimes it was just simple button mushrooms. But he marinated in this just wonderful apple cider vinegar. That's what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. In the mushrooms and the other veg, just fantastic.
So for a third course, what should that go? Should that go? I mean, I think we should.
It's our menu. We can do what the fuck we want.
I think we should do one meat that is a little more straightforward, and the other one that is a little more obtuse. Like duck, goose. Not duck, goose. For one of the main courses, we're going to have two mains, mind you, folks, because that's just the way we do it. Short rib. With a red wine reduction and on polenta.
Some roasted beetroot with it. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
It was a garnish.
Maybe. Golden beet. Potato. And carrot. Just simple, you know, sliced in half, but roasted in balsamic vinegar. And just one or two pieces
maybe,
of each veg.
Maybe like a ratatouille?
The side of it. No. Just a roasted veg that's so roasted that it's ooey gooey.
This would work really well with ratatouille too.
I was gonna make a soup course for the third, but
no.
Why not?
But ratatouille. Let's do that. Let's
ratatouille
for our vegetarian people. Ratatouille, a really upscale ratatouille, would be really great with this wine. All the cornucopias of the different veggies, and oh yes, that ratatouille is the third. And then
I was gonna go a different way.
Fourth course, we'll do the short rib because that's just what you got to do.
Well, the way I gone with the third course, Rob's gonna yell. I don't give a fuck. Cioppino.
Well, no, I mean you could do a fish.
Cioppino would be amazing with this.
Well, if you're gonna try to be,
but I would do my spin on cioppino instead of more broth like. I would have prepared the seafood that way. But then I would have like a blended, wazzed up, roasted tomato that I'm going to incorporate into the broth just before I serve it. So it's almost like a cream of tomato. And that's where it would tie in with the red wine.
Well, it would taste all right.
It would be fucking
But you
fantastic.
Should have something that's beef.
We will.
Well, that's the fourth course. The fifth course is going to be dessert.
No. You did your little... You did your ratatouille.
Should we do six courses?
I'm just expanding the listeners' option.
Six
they can
courses.
Pick my option three versus your option three.
No. It's not Lent.
They're going to take mine.
No, they're not. Six courses. There's six courses. So then we do the short rib.
You can't have two soups, dude.
But it didn't have two soups. What were the two
ratatouille
soups?
Ratatouille
doesn't have to be a soup.
Ratatouille's a soup.
It's more of a casserole, if anything. Look it up.
Ratatouille's a soup.
It's not a soup. You got sliced veg.
You're annoying.
There's no, ratatouille is not a soup. You're dumb.
It's a broth-based French.
Well, yeah, but it's not a soup.
Okay.
Here it is. I'm looking at a picture of it. That's fucking not soup.
It's ratatouille.
No, they call it a stew, though, I guess.
So. Yeah, call it a stew. Okay.
Well, whatever. Fuck them. Fuck them. It's not a stew. Mine is a dry ratatouille. Mine's a very bad ratatouille. It's dry and crusty.
And I quote,
"How's that a stew?
Just another zin from Howl Mountain."
Oh, fuck that.
How dare you blaspheme
like
that?
I am going to make ratatouille
pretty soon. Go in your wine closet and collect all your Cedarman and all your Rattlesnake Ridge because they're just another zin from Howl Mountain.
I got to make ratatouille sometime soon. Maybe this weekend I'll do it. It looks nice. Should do that. It's a lot of work, though, isn't it?
Stew.
You can't get like pre. What? It's not stew, Dick. Even though they call it a stew, it's not a stew. You're slicing all this shit and you bake it in the oven. Oven safe pan. How do you make out of stew in a pan? No, not a stew.
It's what it is.
It's not. Serve hot as a main dish or side. And it says right here, not a stew. I wrote that in on the computer screen with a Sharpie, but it's not.
Just so you believe it.
Dickheads.
Back to the short ribs.
Bullshit.
So do you like my accompaniment with the short ribs? So it's not a full, because we're doing entrees. We're doing different things. It's
I'm watching
like,
a video on I'm making ratatouille.
So it's like four, five, six pieces of the roasted veg.
Okay.
Okay.
Very upset.
We're going high end.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's tomato. Fresh basil.
So now we're the fifth. Time on task. We're moving on.
No, I guess you just do that. No, it's more important for me to do this. They care about what I want to do. All right, I saw a video on how to make it, so I'm ready to go. I guess, yes, the whole base is like tomatoes and shit. So it's like, it's just sitting on top, isn't it?
It's a soup.
Oh, fuck you. It's a stew. Stew's heavy.
Dickhead. Jesus Christ.
Pisses me off.
Baby, it's not my fault you don't know.
You're dumb.
Basic dishes.
I don't know ratatouille. I mean, I know the movie.
Apparently, you didn't pay attention to the movie then.
Well, it was a rat. It was cooking. That kind of distracted
soup.
Me.
Yes, it's in a pan.
Soup. It's a stew.
Oh God,
asshole!
Jesus Christ! You're really struggling.
I am.
Tonight, aren't
I
you?
Am decrying. It's
there
now
have
we're
been
in
problems.
We're in a state of shenanigans right now. Is what we're doing.
Nope. You need to go
I'm
to the
declaring
fifth.
Shenanigans.
We need to go to the fifth.
We already did.
Dish. No, that was the fourth.
This is Jay Gilbert's counting. So it's actually the second, which is the seventh.
We got to close off another dish.
Well,
are we going to go big and go home? Or are we going to go like... Are you going to throw a steak in there or not?
Well, that was what the short rib was instead.
Okay.
Yeah, the short rib was the beef.
Then what are you going to close with?
What's the dessert? We have to close with... Yeah, we have to close with the dessert.
No, we don't.
We do.
Okay.
So, that's what it is. What would you pair...
So, you're going to serve ratatouille because obviously it's a dessert? Oh, no, it's a stew. Oh, no, it's a soup. Oh,
it's still on my menu. You and your fucking fish. What I would say on that...
A dessert? I know. We could have this dessert called ratatouille.
It's a stew. Put some sugar on it. Honey Nut Cheerios. No, what I would actually... some sort of semi-sweet chocolate tort? I don't know. See, this is where the challenge comes in. I think that you could, in some fashion, give some sort of a semi-sweet dessert. Like a flourless chocolate tort that was more rich than anything, and you served a very small amount of it, and you're not fucking up with whipped cream or any of that shit, and it's just a flourless chocolate tort. It's not going to be the most exciting dessert anyone's ever had. Like chocolate ganache. You know, you eat a piece of this, and you're off to take a huge shit because it's just coming out the other end. It's going to like fuck people up. But that's what I think that this would work with, like a chocolate ganache kind of tort.
See,
or ratatouille.
What I think this would work with as a dessert would be, I'd keep it flowing. I'd bring in Italian.
Coffee. You already have something to drink.
Lady fingers. So
tiramisu.
Yes. And a little side pour. Just a little side pour. Just a shot glass of port.
But this is the drink for that. You can't add another drink.
My dessert is tiramisu and a thimble of port.
You're cheating, and we're not going to cheat. Would this go well with
chocolate ganache?
Ganache, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a chocolate tort. Something it's sweet-ish, off sweet. You know.
I like a Swedish girl just as much as the next.
You can't give
person.
Something else to drink. It has to be based on this. You have to drink this wine.
This is our podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
I just said that rule.
I announced my dessert.
Why don't you just say? Why don't you have peach marmalade? You know.
Why don't you just say that ratatouille is not a soup?
It's not a stew, you dick. Go suck a dick. It's not a soup. Maybe yours is. Yours ratatouille.
Even
soup.
Wilfred knows that ratatouille's freaking. Jesus.
All I know is, Scott, you have the crabs. I know that. And syphilis. That's right. He has syphilis, folks. I learned out the hard way. Yeah. And you know what he likes to watch, folks?
Ratatouille, the movie?
Clown pornography.
Oh, clown pornography.
He has a large collection of clown pornography.
Collection.
Yes, and mime pornography.
Mime?
Mime.
Mime.
Those people that don't talk, yes.
And God, it's too bad we don't have one of those here now.
Also, mute pornography. It's disturbing. I don't want to talk about it. No.
Pornography.
Yeah. He also has this large collection of pornography in Braille. I don't know how that works, folks, but he seems to really enjoy it. He, like, rubs his fingers on it, and then goes back, and he's, like, rubbing it a lot, and then something else happens, and... And then I ran out of the room. I was too scared.
Okay.
Braille pornography, folks. That's what Scott's into.
Thank God for Wilfred Wrong, folks.
Yes. And he fucks donkeys.
So. That are actually horses.
That's right. But he wanted the donkey. But then he found out it was a horse. But he was already committed, so.
Listeners, we want your feedback. There's been some disparity in the
menu.
Don't
fuck the horses, Scott. That's what they'll tell you.
No, there's been some disparity in
the menu
selection.
We've got a lot of comments and emails about you stopping fucking horses. It's terrible.
What we'd like feedback on is whose entrees sounded better? Whose items sounded better? Do you want Rob's chocolate ganache or do you want my dessert that includes a little thimble of pork?
Which cheats?
It's not my fault. I can put together a menu better than you can.
Oh my God. At Carfagna's, you could buy
Robert Bialy, Bialy, Bialy.
The whole line of Robert Bialy. All of it. Top shelf, right in your face. And guess what else, Scott? They had Robert Bialy port.
You didn't buy it?
It's $75.
Jesus Christ.
Of Robert Bialy, Bialy, Bialy.
Yeah. I mean, the whole line, man. I don't judge people. Well, I do.
Only when you're awake.
When I walked out.
I actually kind of judge them while you're sleeping, dude.
When I
you?
Walked down that aisle and turned around to the Zen, and I saw Robert Bialy, all of it. I mean, it's like 3 feet of Robert Bialy. When the wine steward was recommending Post and Beam, which is fine, mind you, but you don't have to sell it. It sells itself. I realized where I was, you know. Hey, if you like that wine, you should try Post and Beam. Yeah, have you ever had Camus? Well, let me hand sell Camus to you. Fucker, you don't have to sell Camus to people. You don't have to sell Post and Beam, even though, you know, I don't know if you should or not, but these wines sell themselves. People that love Nickel and Nickel, they buy Post and Beam. Don't know why. I had Post and Beam at the Italian restaurant in Bexley.
Giuseppe's.
Giuseppe's. And it was fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all the things to order, you ordered that there?
Yeah. They had a good deal on it. I tried it. You know, it was Camus-esque. It's a lot cheaper than Camus, but it was Camus-esque. Mm. And you shouldn't have to hand sell a Camus-esque wine because the people that like that stuff find it and buy it regardless. They do.
He was trying to help you.
He wasn't trying to sell to me.
Trust me, he was trying to sell to me.
Because he would have learned a lesson. I would have teached him a lesson.
You would have taught a lesson.
No, he was going to learn a lesson.
You would have meowed him?
I would have said, what the fuck is your problem? You want what else do you want to sell me? You want to sell me sand in the desert? Because I don't need any of that either. I mean, what are you going to do? Impress me, buddy. Tell me about Tuscany. Tell me about it. Okay. No, you don't know anything? Okay.
The thing about Carfagna's in the old wine store.
Mm.
They had so much cheap red Italian.
They do not now.
It was redonkulous.
Cheapest stuff is $20 now.
That's disappointing. That's really, really, really disappointing.
It is.
Because you could go in there.
There's so many good little Italian wines that don't cost $20.
And so maybe you upcharge it. Maybe you pop $5 on there. But $20?
Mm-hmm.
See, there was shit. They had stuff that was $5, $6, $7. Mm-hmm. That's 20 years ago. But still.
Nothing in that realm.
You know, you'd go in there and spend $200 of meat, $250 of meat, and walk out of there with 5 bottles of wine for $40. Mm-hmm. It was good little Italian Chiantes and, you know, little blends. And
mm-hmm. Nope.
That sucks, man.
Mm-hmm. That's gone. So, you know. You got to go with what you got to go with. But nevertheless, we're going to take a break, folks. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2016 Casa Nuestra wine from Turley Wine Cellars. We're going to go over to Scott, who's going to give us a very, very conservative review. I'm assuming it's going to be an 87.
This wine's terrible. I don't want you to join the mailing list. I don't want you to buy it because then there'll be more for me to buy. Go away. Leave Turley alone. Don't join the mailing list. They won't send you offerings in the first year. Note to self, join the mailing list. In the first year, no matter what they offer you, buy it all. Buy a lot of it. And then you know what happens? You get offered more the second offering. Then you can expand your palate, get what you want, try the things you like. Oh, God. I didn't know anything about this wine when I bought it. I was excited for it because of the blend. Oh my God, it didn't disappoint. When I saw the blend of it, I don't think I knew the ABV was going to be 15.8. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't remember that because that's a, like, Turley has some big bastards like that. But this one I didn't expect to be that way. I thought it would be more on the lower end of the alcohol scale. This has got what Rob said. It's got the classic Turley mouthfeel. It's a big son of a bitch. Beautiful in the glass. Wonderful fruit profile from a predominantly Petite Syrah Zin blend that has all these other things going on. All these obscure wines out there. Mourvèdre, not obscure, but Refosco, Negrete.
Well, what I'll say about Turley is it's one of the, I'd say it's the most accessible, and I think you could call it ultra-premium cult wines, because Turley is that in the Zinfandel. And the Zinfandel adjacent wines that exist.
But everything, their cabs are affordable.
Well, no, that's
their
what I'm saying.
Their whites are affordable.
Yeah, it's a cult exclusive wine that anybody that knows anything that's out there or around anywhere in the world, they know Turley. It's an elite winery that Scott knows because I told him about it.
Well, I went to a wine tasting.
I taught you.
You didn't teach me.
Yeah, I did.
You
I taught
said
you.
The Ubruth was not. You,
it was a, it
you
was a little acidic
because it's not ageable.
I never said it wasn't ageable.
Yes, you did. You said it that night. Then you
I said it was
changed
acidic.
Your opinion. Then you changed your mind. You said it was too acidic to be ageable.
No, anyway, acidity denotes ageability. But
you were flirting with some guy who lives in his parents' basement.
It was pretty sexy.
Really? Must have missed that part.
His hair could be used as a helmet.
Okay.
This is a Southern man. That gentleman. There were three people. To be more specific, there was a man and a man and then a woman who really was inconveniencing the men, if you get my drift. So the one man was wearing a pullover from a golf course that he was not a member of, but he would like to pretend that he was. There's that. And the other gentleman was dressed quite unusual, partly because most of his clothes came from Goodwill. And his hair was it was put on his head.
Was it his hair?
In one piece. No, it was a toupee or a wig. But the wig had no movement. So if I wore a bicycle helmet as a hair piece, that was his hair. Now, the wife was not attractive, even for me. And my tastes range into what they would call the exotic, because I'm the Southern man. And she was wearing drapes, like in Sound of Music, when made the children play clothes out of drapes. She made a dress out of drapes. Probably the same drapes that they used in the Sound of Music. And so Scott was commiserating with these people. Rob the wine guy is far too arrogant and elitist to acknowledge their existence. But they did order truffle soup, which $60 a bowl. It was $59 a bowl. It was that much, Scott. And it smelled like feet. And they wanted to know if we would stick around and eat feet soup with them. To which we said, no. And we went and drank at the bar, and Scott bought Princess a $300 glass of something. How much was that?
It wasn't that much.
$200.
No, no, no. It's like $50 for a half pour, which is the last of the bottle.
And this is the thing. We had like, it was a 7-course meal, and it wasn't light on courses. Refectory does not, it's French haute cuisine, but they do not believe that you should go home hungry or should go home being able to walk. They feed you there.
What's impressive for me was on the fly, they put together pretty much a menu for Becky because she was celiac.
Mm-hmm. And it was epic.
The dessert they made, they brought the 2 desserts for her, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it was amazing. But
and even the wine tasting menus or wine dinner menus are normally, if you go to Jay Gilbert's, bread. But they're miniature versions of the real thing. Maybe that ribeye cutlet with pineapple on it. Like you'd be at fucking Chuck E. Cheese, Jay Gilbert's. But not at Refectory. Oh no. If you're gonna get a portion, it's a fucking man's portion. It's the hungry man dinner of haute cuisine at a French restaurant for a wine dinner. So you walk out of there saying, I'm never gonna eat again. Refectory has made me fatter. That's the way you felt.
I think Doug Flutie and his mom do the advertisements for the soup at the Refectory.
I wasn't disappointed, mind you. I'm just saying. Refectory, tip of the cap.
You were disappointed.
There wasn't anything to be disappointed.
No, you were disappointing. They were disappointed in you, sir.
Lord.
Anyhow, back to the Turley. I love this wine. It's one of my favorite things in the world right now.
What? Okay, go ahead.
No, I've got like an ounce and a half left. I'm looking at it fondly. The fruit expression, the Petit Sirah sings through with that. It's not quite pencil lead. It's headed there. The nose was phenomenal. One of the best translations of a nose from what you had on the nose translated directly into the glass with the expression of fruit. Unbelievable. Still chewy tannins, and this has been five and a half years since the release. The finish, I think it's still going from my first taste. It's as long a finish as wines have. I'm between a 91 and a 92, and I'm going 92 of my points.
Okay, comrade. Okay, so Scott has just reviewed a wine that he claims to love, but he doesn't. He looks at this wine and says it's inferior. I don't. I appreciate this wine more than Scott does. But that's okay. He's a failure in life, and we all know this. What do I think of this wine? First of all, Turley makes excellent wines. I mean, even their worst wines. I have a hard time remembering what those are. Sadie Upton, they tend to be sometimes a little bit dull in bad years, but they're still excellent representations of the varietal and interesting takes on them. All right. This wine is a little bit different in the fact that it isn't necessarily representing one varietal. It's representing a vineyard that's been around for years that they bought and then they brought back to life.
Yep, which is what they do.
And they brought it back to life in an elite sense. This is one of their better bottlings in the fact that, yes, it has 15.8% alcohol, but it doesn't taste like it. You drink an Amador Zin, it tastes like it. It weighs you down. You don't want to keep drinking it. This wine, no, you don't have a problem with that. You will the next morning. But when you're drinking it, you don't have a problem with that. You just want to drink it. It's gorgeous. And it's a chameleon. It can do so many different things. It can be drank with, Scott said it could be drank with fish. He's wrong, but he said that.
Turbino.
Mm-hmm. It can even be drank with stew or soup. Depending on how badly you make your
or dessert
ratatouille, yes, or with port. Apparently, It is an exquisite wine that has life, vibrance, and it's exciting. And for someone to give it a 91 or 92 of their points makes them an asshole.
I give it a 92.
You're an asshole. I give it 93 of my points.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm an asshole.
You are. But I'm at the low. I'm at the low spectrum. I'm giving it a 93 to 95. That's where I'm at. Wow. Is that kind of creep above because you can't really collect it? It's not a long-term ager, but...
You know about a creep.
It's you're sitting right there. But it should be in your cellar if it's not. I think you should go out and buy as much as you can, everyone that listens, because that means Scott might not get it. And that would make me happy. His sadness would make me happy.
How many bottles of this do you have in your cellar?
I have not any of it, so zero.
Oh.
It's okay.
Damn you.
It's okay.
You made a mistake.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Now I know. So I can get some.
Oh, you didn't believe in Charlie. You didn't believe in Larry and Christina. Mistake.
Christina wasn't anywhere near this one.
False.
She wasn't. She was off thinking about you, I'm sure.
False.
Yes, false is correct. One thing we agree on, Christina Turley does not think about Scott. Yeah.
I'm over it.
You should be. Yeah.
Well.
It's like, I wish I had a sugar daddy that I'm a lot richer than, that's a lot older than me, like could be my great-grandfather. Oh, this guy. He wears a Columbus Crew hockey jersey.
Columbus Crew hockey jersey?
It's Columbus, Blue Jackets. I realized after I said that. And he wears a trench coat. I wonder if he's naked underneath that trench coat. Strangely enough, Christina Turley's very similar to Wilford. You have a better chance with me, Scott. You know, you have to play your cards right, because... You know, I'm hard to get. I mean, I'm not. Well, I am. Interpol can't catch me, so there's that, you know. They're like, Wilford, you're a wanted man. And they put up a poster because they want me so bad. Can they catch me? Can they get me? No, they cannot. Once again, does this podcast have a lot of listeners that are in law enforcement? I'm supposed to ask that. You know, are you a cop, Scott?
No,
you're not. No,
he's not.
Good. I'm supposed to ask that. Verify that before I. I don't know why. My lawyer sucks because I made him up, but that's okay. So, a 93, a 92 Hall of Fame for the Casa Nuestra red wine from Turley. Bravo. Tip of the cap. Well, Turley, whatever. We tip of the cap. They have the cap. But this really is. A different different offering from them that I completely appreciate. I dig. Next time it's available, I will pick up some.
Yeah. The more I buy from Turley, the other offerings. You know, the first blend that I brought to the show was the White Coat. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite wines of all time. I'm not sure this hasn't surpassed that. I love the White Coat.
This has an interesting aspect. The White Coat, though, I appreciate it because it's an emulation of a white Chateau Neuf.
And
I like that.
But it's the same thing as this in that they
sort of
bought a vineyard. It's a field plan of what grows in there. That's what's going into the wine. Mm. And they brought it back to life. And it's a beautiful thing. But back to the point that I was going to make, the more I have the non-Zins and the non-Petite Syrahs, the more I appreciate what they do. Princess's favorite white wine is Turley Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... It's
a really good wine.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's I'll put that against anybody's Sauvignon Blanc, particularly for the price point. Triple B is not going to like that when we put that up against Love Block, but I'll take the Turley every day.
Well, we've already kind of done this. Didn't we do... We did Turley Sauvignon Blanc versus Kim Crawford.
Yeah, that's not the same as Love Block.
No, we could do that because I have Love Block. And I have the Turley Sauvignon Blanc. Sophie's choice for the Triple B when she gets back.
This is Becky. Hello! Toodaloo! I'm still, I get tired. I like move 5 feet and then I sit in the chair for all day long. Rob DeWanka is not upset by that. No, I do nothing, but I'm sick, so I can't do it.
I'm fine, folks. No.
You're a bad, bad man.
I'm fine.
It's a bad man.
Scott last week really pissed Becky off by saying she needed to go to physical therapy.
What I said to her
you
was,
said she looked like shit.
No, I did not say that.
You did.
I said you look very stiff.
Oh, that's okay. Women take that right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Becky's, you know, she's not happy with you.
Yet she checked. She did a wellness check on me 2 or 3 times this week. She was very concerned.
She was
me.
Disappointed when she got the answer, but that's okay. You know,
she wanted me to be bad. She wanted me to like slit my wrist.
I don't know. You didn't. You weren't around her this weekend. She might have been okay with that. I wouldn't take it personal. She probably felt that way about everybody. Oh, Lord. She's mad at Bo. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and nobody else, we're gonna bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.